everybody. Good to see you. Hey, listen, later this in the service, we're going to have Lord's Supper. You probably saw that sitting up here. I'll share a little bit more about that in a bit, but good to see all of you. You know, we had, let's see, three seniors up here, Anna, Addie, and Ashley, and they're all going to be leaving this week to college, so be praying for them. It's funny, I came up this morning and I gave them all a hug and I said, is there anything we can do to keep you here? I said, what's the price? How much? And it was funny. Anna said, price, give me a break. Ashley said, price, give me a break. And Addie said, everybody has a price. So that was funny. Oh. But we're so blessed to have them, and we're so blessed to have Chad and Lisa and their leadership with our youth. Isn't it awesome to see young people up here leading? Yeah. We want to keep doing that. We want to just, we want people to know that when they bring their children to Bear Creek, we're going to build them up and help them to become leaders and to be a light and to stand out in front in the name of Jesus. So we can combat the darkness that we see in our world. And so I'm just excited for our young people. Well, last week we ended a sermon series called Baggage. I'm still going to be in Ephesians today. And so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 today. You know, our progressive world, with all the advancements of science and technology and sociology and psychology and philosophy, they've all become very sophisticated. And they've been able to discover lots of things, come up with answers for lots of issues. And so you would think, growing up under all of this sophistication and all of this research and problem solving, that that people would be happier. And that they would be more satisfied, and they would be more fulfilled, and they would be more likely to grab hold of the life they've always wanted, but they're not. Through all of that, and you would think that with all these advancements and treatments for things like depression and worry and despair, after science and philosophy got a hold of them, the turnaround rate would be about 100%, right? That's what you would think, right? But instead, it's getting 10 times worse. They're seeing 10 times the amount of patients now, and there's no real results. In fact, the only answer we see is just new advancements in medication, right? That's what we see the answers are, And so they zone everyone out on medicine, and they say, you know, this medicine is going to make everyone happy once again. And then you see the commercials, and they're running down the beach. And they're just so happy running down the beach. And I think they're running because one of the side effects is diarrhea. And so they're running to the bathroom. That's where they're running to. How many of you thought you would hear the word diarrhea in church today? Oh, man. Well, in the UK, they did a study just a couple years ago, the Government Office for National Statistics, and they did this research study on religion. And just a few, like I said, it was just about 4 years ago. And they found that Bible-believing Christians are by far happier, more fulfilled, more at peace. They serve more, they give more, their kids are happier, their families stay together longer, right? And the list just goes on and on. And so here's the question, why is that modern science and modern advancements and all of this data can't fix problems their way? You ever thought about that? Why is it? Why are there now millions and millions and millions of books on depression and despair and millions of medications and just hundreds of thousands of clinics and treatment centers? And then you just keep watching, the problem gets worse and worse. Well, here's the issue. And I want you to hear this. because the problem is spiritual. It's because the problem is spiritual. You know, we had our daughter, Kendall. This was about, I would say, 6 years ago. And we were just getting her, she went to the doctor. She went to a Cook's Children medical doctor. And she was just getting a checkup. And Melanie mentioned to the doctor, yeah, Kendall's been having a lot of bad dreams lately. And the doctor said, well, I don't know what y'all's faith is, but here's what I would recommend. You put praise and worship music on when you put her to bed. And she goes, I know that sounds crazy. And Melanie's like, no, it doesn't sound crazy. In fact, you know, we love the Lord. And she goes, okay, good. Put on praise and worship music when she goes to sleep. Guess what? Nightmares stop like that. Isn't that something? It was kind of almost like this worship music was healing to her little soul. And, you know, people all over America are waking up to the fact that more possessions and more entertainment and more medication cannot fix the weary soul. Can't fix it. And the only solution we tend to see is just sort of temporary help and all this masking, right? The Band-Aid of the problems, and we don't really have solutions. Man cannot come up with solutions. You know, since the Enlightenment period, when man became just that much more smarter, and all of these things and all of these advancements, and we praise the Lord for them in a lot of ways, but they just can't fix the human soul. Psalm 43:5, it says this, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in God. Dr. Tony Evans, he says this, everything visible and physical is controlled or derived from that which is invisible and spiritual. So in other words, if you want to fix this visible physical problem you are experiencing in your life, you have to address the spiritual invisible issues behind the problem, right? And so it's funny reading this research and all the new discoveries, and they'll say, you know, we found that money can't buy you happiness. Well, yeah, Scripture's been saying that for thousands of years, right? And they'll say things like, you know, gratitude is very important, evidently, in our research, right? And they'll say all these things, and the Bible have been saying it for years, but they've so shut out the word of God that they've become fools. Right? And I don't mean to kind of come this hard down, but we've become foolish because we have so shut it out. And there's this secular humanism, and secular humanism is when people reject faith and they believe in human philosophy and human reasoning, and that's the way to solve all the problems. And let me tell you, it's not, because it's not working. We're more advanced than ever before. And this is why they hope that therapy and medicine will heal and awaken the human soul, but it won't. A lot of times it just sends it in the wrong direction. And you know, it always confuses me. I'll watch the news or something, and they'll see some kind of horrific crime. And the newscaster who's you know has proven to be a secular humanist for a long time, that same newscaster will say, "This was an act of evil. Pray for the family." Isn't that interesting? That someone that would so deny the spiritual can identify when evil, spiritual evil, is happening, and that the method or the solution is prayer for the families. It's just so interesting. Early on in my faith, I wrestled with all kinds of stuff in Scripture. There were things that I would read in the Bible, and I would just go, is this really right? Is this really true? And, you know, I would wrestle with it, but over time, I came to realize what Paul realizes in the book of Acts, chapter 1, may God be true and every man a liar. May he be on the throne alone and everything else come below him, and we seek after him first. We keep him highly exalted, and when we do this, it settles a lot of issues in our lives. And the sooner we realize that, the quicker the healing for our soul happens. And so because in Christ you can finally defend your soul, and you can finally find healing for your soul in him. Finally. After all the medication and after all of the different therapies and different things, because the answer's in him. It's in him. And here's a few things I want us to know about the enemy before we jump into chapter 6, okay? Number one, he's a deceiver. The Bible says that Satan's primary method is deception. So one of the things that I didn't believe about God's word was this issue of the devil. It took me some time, okay? But I started to realize that all the people that I highly respected in the faith who were living in victory and living in joy, they took this issue very serious of the devil and evil and what this means. And so number one, he's a deceiver. Revelation 12:9, he's called the deceiver of the whole world. Scripture says he comes to destroy, but he appears as an angel of light. So in other words, he's a deceiver that appears as something good, but it's not. And so Jesus says, he says this about the devil: when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And the problem is, he lies off, and he lies so much, and these lies sound like truth. To a lot of us, they're like believable lies. And then the scripture also says that he's a tempter. He's referred to as a tempter in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and in 1 Thessalonians 3, 5. Your flesh and your sin nature, they're very weak, and they're vulnerable to temptations. They're prone to temptation. And so you need something to strengthen you, or you'll be just way too open to these temptations that come your way. The devil's also called a thief in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he aims to steal, kill, and destroy what? Your life, your joy, your hope. Everything that's good of God he hopes to destroy. He is a thief, and he will steal it from you. And that's because he steals. And have you ever heard? You ever watched a kid filled with a lot of joy when he's younger? He grows up to be a grumpy old man. You ever seen that before? There's a grumpy old man back there right now. Okay, so and a grumpy woman and a grumpy woman. Okay, it's because you know, when this happens and we see this happen, it's because they had no defense system against the thief. And the thief has come in, and they didn't have any defense system, and so they just kind of gave away all their joy. He stole it. And the thief stole their life, and they stole their joy. And here's the good thing. You can reclaim it today. You can reclaim that joy today. It's also, number four, he's a murderer. Jesus says in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning. There is this destructive, hateful, murderous nature to Satan. And whenever you see bitterness and hatred and murder, just know that he is behind that. And then finally, he's a distorter. The devil does not create things. He perverts things. And so God's the creator, and the devil's the perverter. For example, sexuality, okay? God's the creator. He created a beautiful thing. The devil is a perverter, and he perverts it, flips it upside down. He creates a lot of lies and perverseness with it. And so you have to receive one of those. You have to see behind these schemes of the devil and this deception of the devil and the lies, right? The lies of the enemy. You ever got a credit card thing in the mail, just like a solicitation? You ever had one of those come in the mail? And it says something like this: you have qualified for a platinum freedom card. And you now, because of your amazing credit, you now are allowed to have a $25,000 limit. And you could experience freedom too if you just fill out this form and turn it back in. You ever seen this come in? Okay, the freedom card. You all have seen the freedom card. It's a freedom. Is it a freedom card? Okay, it's not a freedom card. You know why? See, the credit card company knows your behavior, right? And he knows the behaviors of man. And he knows, they know if they just put that in your hand, you're going to swipe, you'll hit it a little bit, and you'll say, I'll pay that off. And you'll swipe it again, swipe it some more, I'll pay that one off, swipe it a little bit too much more the next month. Then your wife gets hold of the card. And then it's just like, and it's just $25,000 in 1 week, right? But it's a scam. And this is the same way Satan scams you. And here's the thing, is the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to the brilliance of his truth and his wisdom. And as these lies come your way, you can distinguish the truth from the lie. It's just an amazing thing what God does with all that. And there are people today who are owned by the enemy, just like when the credit card company gets you to run that thing to the limit, they own you. Well, there's people today that have been schemed and scammed by the enemy, and they're owned by the enemy. And so Satan aims to stop you. Just one more thing. I used to follow this guy named Les Brown. He used to have a TV show a long time ago on TV, but he used to be just like a real encouraging, kind of motivational type speaker, and he's a Christian. And I remember one of the things that he says, the people who make it in life are those who are unstoppable. See, most people, you just tell them no once or twice and they're stopped. But the people who really make it in life are the people who are unstoppable. You see, God, what he does with believers, if you will just be faithful and you will trust him and you will trust his word is true, and you will engage this faith, and you'll begin this faith journey, and you'll begin to step into this relationship with God, the closer you get to him, the more you'll realize that, man, this is powerful. The more you get closer to him, the more you walk with him, the more you're engaged with him, when he sees an experience, and he sees that kind of engagement, he pours it on, and he takes you to the next level. And it's like Paul says, ever-changing from glory to glory. God pours out that truth in your life, and he responds to your engagement. And what he's doing is he's strengthening your faith and making you unstoppable. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. You know, I know that this message today is titled, This is War. But this is how you win the war. You have to be unstoppable. And for the last few weeks, we've been going through some of chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians is really about the Christian life, right? Living, how to live the Christian life. It's a real general look about just how to engage this Christian life and walk in it. In chapter 1, he talks about walking in a manner worthy of your calling. And he tells us to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, the unbelievers, right? Don't walk that way. To put off the old life, remember, the old baggage, and to put on the new. He says in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, put off falsehood, put on truth, speak the truth. And in chapter 5, he says, be imitators of God, be loving, be thankful, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember all these things? Look what he says in chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, he says, he's closing out here, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we just talked about the schemes of the devil, right? I want you to underline the phrase, be strong in the Lord, and then just put a number 1 right next to it. And then I want you to move over, and it says, put on the full armor of God. And I want you to underline that and put a number 2 next to it because of this. There are 2 commands here. Be strong in the Lord, right? And the second command is put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God. So The first part, be strong in the Lord, it could be written like this. Be strong in the power that has already been available to you in Christ, okay? It's made available to you. So now what he's saying is he's commanding you to be strong in the power that has already been made available to you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that parted the sea, right? The same power that overcame sin and death. The same power that every believer and every follower of Christ experienced at the point of salvation that took you from light to, from death to life. And that's available. And he says, be strong in the Lord. It's not in your own strength. Be strong in him. We talk about this a lot here at Bear Creek. This Christian life, it's not really hard. It's impossible. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own strength. You got to have God's power. And then there's something more specific he says here. He says, he shows us how to put on God's strength. Notice this? He says, by putting on the whole armor of God. So as we put on this armor, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, as we put on this armor, what we're doing is we're putting on God's strength. Not your strength. We're putting on God's strength. And so he says, put on the full armor of God, and then notice the purpose here, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That you're able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. This is why you're putting this armor on. And what you're putting on when you do that is God's strength, not your own. And this is how Christians remain unstoppable, y'all. This is how you remain unstoppable. And I wanted to share this message, forgetting that this was in chapter 6 of the book we were already working through. And so I was like, wait a second, I could just tie this all together. But I wanted to share this message because so many were baptized last week. And I'll tell you, this is when the enemy attacks. It's right when you come to know Jesus and come to know him and you're stepping into this faith, the enemy is going to attack you, to divert you, to turn you into a lame pew sitter for the rest of your life, where you just sit there and sit there and sit there and you never engage the faith. God wants you to engage him. And Satan wants to stop you. God wants to move you forward faster, right? Satan wants to stop you and hinder you and slow you down and make you go 20 years from now, is this all there really is to Christianity? Is this all there really is to faith? It's not God, it's you. You have to engage, right? And you have to put on the armor because the enemy is after you. You are a prime target right now. If you know how Satan operates, his schemes, his lies, we already talked about the temptations that come your way, and now, and if you know how to defend yourself with the armor of God, what could possibly come against you? You will be unstoppable if you know how to defend yourself. Look, will you fall? Yes. Will you make some mistakes? Yes. Will you run into problems where the enemy attacks you and you fall weak or victim to that? That will happen, but God will show you how to get back up and still be unstoppable. And so remember, the enemy is very deceptive, and Scripture says he masquerades as an angel of light, and he's very alluring. Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, he blinds the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. Isn't that something? He blinds them. And it tells us that he treats the believers in Revelation 12:10. It says, Satan is the relentless accuser. He is, Scripture says, he's the accuser of the brethren, the believers. And he fills you with accusations to stop you. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? Are you trying to be perfect? This continues to fill you with accusations and condemnation. But listen, God has equipped you as a believer. He's equipped you. And he's armed you. And he says, you can stand against the devil's schemes. How? By putting on the full armor of God. Well, what is the full armor of God? Well, I'm glad you ask. So let's go on, okay? So, and then he gives the reasons for why we need the armor in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is why you need the armor. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, when I first became a Christian, I would come across things like this. I would be like, whoa, that's kind of, you know, Star Wars-y, you know? That's kind of out there. But just bear with me if you're having a hard time with this. In other words, we are not fighting against man. We're not fighting against people. We're fighting against a force that's behind this evil, that's behind this hatred, that's behind these issues, these problems. That there's something spiritual happening here. And look, I believe even lost people can tell when something is really dark. A family from here called me one time and said, look, I've got a friend. Their son is very, very depressed, and he needs somebody to come talk to him. And I said, okay. Went over his house. I stepped into this house. It was so dark. And I don't mean light, no light. I mean it was dim. And it was gloomy, and I could just feel the weight of darkness. And he just sat on a couch looking at me from the top of his eyes, not saying a word. And the only thing I could do is just recite scripture and pray and pray and pray. And then he just told me to get out. So then I left. 2 days later, he committed suicide. Isn't that rough? Isn't that rough? There is a spiritual darkness, y'all. And we know when things are really dark, and we can sense when things are just not right. And it's why you sense right now that things are not right in our country and in our communities and among people in our nation. It's one of the reasons we saw 21 baptisms, I'm convinced, last week. It's because people are tired of the lies. And they're tired of this secular humanism that's getting us nowhere. And it's healing nothing. And so he says that there's these rulers and these authorities, and it's kind of like there's this hierarchy, this different ranking, kind of like the military, right? There's these rulers, there's these authorities, these powers, these spiritual forces. And these are the things that we fight against, not against people, but against these things in the heavenly places. And when he says heavenly places, he's just talking about this spiritual realm, this unseen realm. And so the command is, be strong in the Lord. How? By putting on the armor of God. We're just kind of walking through this so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the enemy, the deceiver, the destroyer, the liar, the manipulator, right? So Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Take up the whole armor. Defend yourself against the schemes of the devil. And so what do we do? How do we do this? Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth, look, truth matters. And here's the deal with truth. People say, you know, those Christians are really narrow-minded. That's exactly right. I'll tell you why. Truth is narrow. There is not a lot of fluff in truth. It is very narrow, or it's not truth. And it stings people, and it hurts people to hear the truth, and it's either condemnation to them or conviction. I pray it's conviction. It's never intended to beat you down. When you see all these different lifestyles being lived out in America, okay, the word of God, truth, confronts that, and it either convicts your heart to turn your life to Jesus, or you receive it as the devil would prescribe, as condemnation, and you reject it, and you say, how dare you tell me how to live my life? Look, he created you. He created you. He has every right to tell you how to live your life. And look, it's the best life you'll ever live, y'all. It's the life you've always wanted. You just don't know it because you've been part of the schemes, the devil's schemes, for so long, and you've been so off track for so long, you're searching in the darkness, and he wants you to come to the light. And so we go on, and he says, you got to put this belt of truth on, because one of the biggest threats is these believable lies that are lingering all over the place, and these lies come in, and you've got to have truth to combat the lies. If it's the lie that binds you, it's the truth that sets you free. And God wants you to live in freedom, and he wants to set you free, and how he does it is he protects you with the truth, to live out the truth. If you're tangled up in some relationship issue, some kind of family issue, some kind of difficulty, maybe you're believing too many lies inside of that, and it's keeping everything in disarray. You want to bring it all back together? Find the narrow truth and submit. Obey. Because your heart is aligned with God. And God, I love you so much. I just want to follow your ways, and I trust your ways. Even if it confronts the things I don't want to do, I'll still trust and obey because I know it will lead me to freedom. This is putting on the belt of truth. Let's move to the next one, okay? The next one is the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness means right living, okay? Just think of it that way. Look, you don't come to Christ because you're good enough and you've behaved well, okay? You come to Christ as a beggar, right? You come to Christ empty of yourself, going, I am not good enough. I am sinful. Woe to me, a man who is unclean. I come to you as an unclean man, and I need your righteousness, and I need your cleansing. I can't live this life on my own. And so what God does, as you come in that kind of humility, and you come with that kind of heart of confession and repentance, God releases you and covers you with the righteousness of Christ, okay? And now you walk in the righteousness of Christ. And when you fall and you, look, the Bible says we all stumble in many ways. The Bible says we are all sinners. Even the Christians are sinners. My wife, y'all, my wife's a sinner. Okay, all right. She's like, she always goes, why do you bring me into this? To wake you up, to make sure you're listening to my preaching. That's why. Okay. All right. So, but we're covered with the righteousness of Christ. And it's not anything we've done on our own. Then we come into this relationship with him. And our relationship with Jesus is now secure forever, but our fellowship is not. And our fellowship is our part, and we stay close to him by walking in righteousness and becoming more and more like him. Is it doing the best you can and picking yourself up by your bootstraps? No. It's aligning yourself with him and trusting in his strength to carry you. And it's more about emptying yourself of you and all of your agendas and getting aligned with him and his truth. That's more what it's about than trying really hard. And so what he's called us to do is to put on this breastplate of righteousness. If you want to know what right living is, just look at Jesus. Just look at the life of Jesus. And there's this advice out there in the world. And the world, and this is believable lies, right? The world will tell you things like, just follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. The world will say, if it feels good, do it. The world will say, that's just who you are. The world will say love is love. They have all these mantras. And look, I lived in a lot of these mantras myself for half of my life, okay? And they're dead and they're wrong. But you have to know the truth so you can dispel those lies. And you have to be aligned with God's righteousness so you can dispel those lies. These are protective pieces of armor for you. And then he says in verse 16, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ brings peace. Well, what is it? What does that mean? It means it sets you free from the things that bind you, right? He comes in, covers you with his righteousness. He forgives you. The guilt is gone. The shame is gone. And the peace comes. Peace, why? Peace because you have a greater hope, right? It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. When you operate and function in this world, you have a greater peace because you're secure in Christ. And come what may, you can live at peace because you know him. It's protective. And Satan wants nothing more. The enemy wants nothing more than destroy and disrupt your peace. And maybe today you have no peace. It's because you're listening to a lie. Okay? If you're a believer, a follower of Christ, you can have peace. You can know peace. If you know Jesus, you'll know peace. If you know Jesus, you'll know peace. Next one, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith. When you trust God above all things and that strong trust in him, it's a shield. It's a shield. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It's confidence that God is who he says he is, that he'll do what he says he'll do. And you live in that confidence, and it's like a protective shield that when things come against you, you just know God is who he says he is. He will do what he says he'll do. He'll always keep his promises, and I'm going to walk in those promises. I'm going to walk in those commands. He goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to please God and protect yourself against the enemy, you have to take up the shield of faith and really trust him. This is not easy to do when things are coming against you. But that's when you lean heavily on him and you just pray, God, I'm taking up the shield of faith. Look at verse 17. He says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation is the assurance that God is covering you with his protection. Salvation is a work of Christ to save you, right? But it's also our journey with the Lord where we cooperate with him and to work that salvation into every aspect of our life. And it strengthens us. And it makes us strong against the enemy's attacks. Look at verse 17. Again, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God will protect you. The word of God is his truth. It's his commands. It's his promises. It's his wisdom. It's the character of God. It's the holiness of God. The more you come to know him, the closer you get to him, the more you'll become more and more like him. You'll never be God, okay? But the effort of a believer or the activity of a believer is to become more and more and more like Christ. And the word of God makes us, and you'll notice that the sword of the Spirit, a sword is a defense and an offense weapon, right? And so it's used to combat the enemy and to protect. And Jesus actually did that. You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan? And he actually used the word of God, he used scripture to combat these temptations that came his way. And so know the word, know the word. You know, next week we start this new study called Just Jesus. And Jesus, he models a lot of these things. He models just about every single piece of armor for us through his life. And I'm looking forward to that. His word, it shapes you, it sharpens you, it protects you, it also rebukes you, right, when you start to go astray. It corrects you, it encourages you, it builds you up, and I pray that you're in the word. Look at verse 18, this is the last part. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You know, Paul talks about this praying at all times. He tells us, pray continually. So God wants us to pray continually. What does that look like? We'll walk into the road if we're praying like this, right? Praying continually means you're in constant conversation, not speaking, just your thought prayers. God, what do you want me to do? God, you know this situation better than I do. Lord, help me with this. Lord, I'm about to step into this job interview. I need your help. I need your strength. God, I don't know what to do about this problem. I don't know how to handle this problem. And so you're constantly consulting the Lord. And as you're doing that, you're praying continually. And so think about this. Think about the armor. You may want to just make a little, put a little mark in your Bible to go back to the armor when you face difficulties and you face these enemy attacks. Because, you know, the scripture talks about that evil day, right? When that evil day comes, when you're facing these spiritual attacks, think about this, using this armor and praying through it, right? I mean, what better way to confront issues in your life, confront the darkness, than to put on and say, Lord, I'm putting on the belt of truth right now. Help me put this on. Help me to put the truth of your word into my life right here. Help me to operate and function in your truth, even though all of these things are coming against me. Help me to stand in the truth. Lord, I put the breastplate of righteousness. It's your righteousness, Lord, I lean on, that I'm trusting in. And I'm fitting my feet with the gospel of peace. Your gospel and what you've done to save me has brought peace into my life. Guard me, Lord, with your gospel of peace. And Father, I put my shield of faith on. And that way, when all of these attacks come from the enemy, I can extinguish these flaming arrows. You know, I read that soldiers back in the day, they used to dip their shields in water because they knew that the enemy would attack with flaming arrows. And so their shields would actually extinguish the arrows when they hit the shield. So Lord, just cover me and shield me, Lord, with faith and trust in you. Help me to put on the helmet of salvation and to put the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, in my hand so I can fight. I hope that you'll make that your prayer. Look, attack...